Beverly, her alarm clock went off, so she can do roll call.
Vinny? Here. Brenda? Here. Paul? Josie?
Here.
Josie? Warren?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Chris?
Here.
Daily? Daily? Samantha?
Here.
Tom? Tom? We have a call.
Okay. Thank you. And Josie, are you on there? Did you click in? Okay. We do have a quorum. King Cove, who's in your office?
Sorry, I couldn't figure out the button. This is Annie. Of course, we have Brenda, Warren, Chris, Talia, and Jackie.
Okay, thank you. Cole Bay. Nelson Lagoon.
Just me, Sam here.
Okay, Sam. False pass. Sandpoint is Glenora, Beverly, Paul, Carol, myself, and Jack Walsh, the superintendent for the school. Akatan. In the Anchorage office.
Hi, this is Ernie Weiss with Annis and Denise Mobeck.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have the agenda, so we need a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
This is Brenda. I'll
make a motion.
Okay, motion by Carol, second by... does anybody have any corrections or additions to the agenda? Or not additions, I guess. Okay. If there's no objections, the agenda will stand as written. Do we have any public comments on any agenda items at this time? Jack?
My name is Jack Walsh, and I'm the superintendent of the schools. I live here at Sandpoint, but there were two things I just wanted to mention. One of them is I really do appreciate that you're looking at the false pass boilers as something that's on your agenda today, and that you're all the work you've done already to support the school and the community, and you know, I hope that you'll pass that. And I've appreciated the work the mayor and others have done to make that happen. And just in general, all the support we've seen in the time I've been here. So thank you to all the assembly members and the mayor and his staff. The second thing I just wanted to mention was I also saw there's an item to recognize Carol Foster for her service. And I just wanted to say on behalf of the schools and everybody else, thank you so much for all your time with that.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. Any other public comments at this time? Okay. Conflict of interest. If everyone feels like they have a conflict of interest on any agenda item, that would be the time.
Well, this is Daly. Okay. I don't have a conflict of interest, but I just wanted to let you know I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, so we need a motion to bring the minutes of September 8th to the floor. Motion and a second.
I'll make a motion.
Make that motion.
Josie.
Okay.
Motion by Brenda, second by Josie. Does anybody have any comments on any of the items in the minutes? Corrections to them? Hearing none. There's no objections. The minutes will stand as written. We need a motion and a second to bring the financial report to the floor.
This is Chris. I make a motion.
Thank you, Chris.
Denise, I'll second.
Thanks, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor. Our Spagn Assembly, in the packet are the August 2022 financials. This is the second month of our fiscal year. The only item I think I'll point out is our raw fish tax. So we did receive our July fish tax in August, and that's reflected here. We received $920,000, which over the five-year average, we're at about 135%. So that's really great news to have that much revenue come in July. And other than that, I have no other comments. So if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? Paul?
Yes, Danny, under the general fund, the second item, this is $4,830. Refresh your memory on what that item is again.
So under other revenue, we receive lease payments for the fourplex. What else do we receive, Jackie? I think that's what that would be, the fourplex rent.
Okay, thank you.
And that's July and August.
Any others? Okay. Call the roll on the financial report, please.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yeah.
Yes. Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Haley?
The agenda on there, Nikki?
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried. Okay, thank you. Okay,
Mr. Mayor, Thomas here, Paul Flapp.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Investment report in your packet. That's for you to peruse, or if you have any questions. Paul?
Yeah, thank you. Annie, during the workshop, you mentioned you made a call. What was the date and the exact amount that you mentioned? I didn't catch it when you said it earlier.
Yeah, I checked on October 11th, and the amount in our permanent fund was about $41 million. So it's dropped a little bit with the change in the market.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there's no other comments, our next three items that are listed on the agenda, we don't have anything under consent, public hearings, or ordinances, but we do have five resolutions before us, so we need a motion and a second to bring Resolution 2316 to the floor.
So moved. It's Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second. This is Joe.
Second by Carol. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. So in your packets, Resolution 2316, which authorizes the payment of $612,769.82 to the Army Corps of Engineers for the remaining amount owed for the Foss Pass Harbor project, and the reappropriation of $243,893.43 from the Coal Bay Clinic line item to the Foss Pass Harbor line item. In 2004, the borough and the Army Corps of Engineers entered into a project cooperation agreement for construction of the False Pass Harbor. The borough agreed to pay 20% and the Corps agreed to pay 80% of the project construction costs. In December 2017, the borough was notified by the Corps that the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals had awarded Kelly Ryan a $20 million judgment for a procurement dispute arising in 2006 through 2009 over the construction of a breakwater and other general navigation features in False Pass. The borough was originally told they would be responsible for 20% of the lawsuit, which would have amounted to an additional $5.4 million payment. Brad Gilman assisted on getting language into the WERDA bill, and that was approved, and waived the borough's portion of the judgment and legal fees. So we are no longer responsible for that $5.4 million. The Corps has finally completed the final accounting for the project, in which they removed the contract claim judgment from the project share. With the adjustment, the total project cost for the harbor was about $20 million, resulting in the initial construction cost of a split of 90-10 of $18.1 million and $2.2 million of a non-federal share. The borough had provided $4.1 million in cash. After subtracting the cost of the non-federal share and the amount paid for the local service facilities and betterment, which is building the breakwater of the causeway, valued at $748,000, the borough has a credit balance of $1.37 million. The second 10% computation includes a credit of $32,000 from the pre-construction engineering and design phase, yielding the total amount owed of about $2 million, minus the $32,000, about $1.9 million. With the credit balance, if we apply that of 1.3, the final amount owed for the second 10% is around $612,000. And I'm just rounding numbers there. The Corps has stated that the second 10% can be paid now or over a period of 30 years utilizing the federal finance rate as defined by Section 106 of the WERDA 1986. And the interest rate we were provided was 5.125%. The Corps provided two draft long-term agreements, agreement amortization schedules to help the borough make an informed decision on how to pay the additional funds. LTA 18 shows the full principal of the 1.9 with the interest rate of 5.125%, which results in an annual payment of $130,842.50 per year until October 1, 2052. LTA shows the full principal of $1.9 million minus the initial down payment of $1.3 with an interest rate of 5.125% and an annual payment of $41,035.84 until October 1, 2052. Administration has reviewed both payment options and recommends paying the $612,769.82 in full. So we wouldn't enter into an agreement with the Corps. We just pay it outright. Funds would be paid as followed. There's $331,000 in Fund 24 under the Series E bond monies that was meant for the False Pass Harbor. There's $37,136 in the False Pass Harbor in Fund 20, which were permanent fund earning appropriations. And then we would reappropriate $243,893.43 from the Colbay Clinic permanent fund earnings to the False Pass Harbor line item. And then we could pay the core in full for that second 10%. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Andy? Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As several people mentioned, and I concur that I don't have any problem with this resolution of paying it down. When I was at Colbay a couple weeks ago, they were working on a clinic, and I kind of wanted to go in and look at it, but they were working, so I didn't get a chance to see how that was coming, but that's part of this resolution. But the as normal in a borough, I think as you mentioned, Mr. Mayor, once we have a project complete like the harbor and False Pass, it ends up being transferred to the entity responsible, probably, which is the city of False Pass. So how is the schedule for doing that, transferring the harbor after it's all paid for? Is it appropriate at this time, or when would we be doing that?
So that is a great question, Paul. I'd actually have to go look at the bond payments because part of the agreement is we cannot transfer the harbor until the bonds are paid off in full for that facility. I don't have any of that information in front of me, and I can't access it right now. So I would have to get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions, comments? Carol?
I agree with Annie. I think it's time we just pay this off. If we've got the money now, let's pay it off and be done with it. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, and let's not owe somebody for the rest of the next 30 years. So that's my comment. Thanks.
Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have resolution 2317. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
This is Chris. I make a motion that we bring resolution 2317 to the floor.
Thank you.
This is Denise. I'll second.
Thanks, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, back in assembly. So resolution 2317 is appropriating an additional $255,000 to the Coon Boat Harbor Study. At the August 13th, 2020 Assembly meeting, the Assembly approved Resolution 2009, which authorized the Mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of agreement between the Borough and the Actan Traditional Council for the Accoon Harbor Boat Study. The resolution authorized the Borough to take the lead on the project and appropriated $1,016,000 from the Borough's existing funds for the project. At the September 10th, 2020 Assembly meeting, the Assembly approved Resolution 2113, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a tribal partnership program cost share agreement with the Department of Army, the Native Village of Actan, and the borough for the Accoon Island Navigational Improvements Tribal Partnership Feasibility Study. Per this agreement, the borough agreed to pay the non-federal match, which was estimated to be $989,000 for this project. That tribal partnership agreement was executed in July 2021. The borough at that time had approximately $5.3 million in non-federal matching funds available for this project. To date, we have spent $759,000 of that $989,000 commitment. We still do have a balance remaining of approximately $229,000 for the funds already committed. In September 2022, the Corps submitted an informal request for an additional $255,000 from the borough to cover items that have overrun the budgets and the contract costs for specific data requirements on the study. So essentially, the Corps is spending more than they had thought they would for this work. Project manager for the Corps stated he would submit the formal request for these funds in October 2022. I haven't received that formal request as of yet, but I do anticipate getting that later this month. Administration recommends appropriating the $255,000 funding request to complete the study. Funds are available in and would be split between the FY 2009 State General Fund account, which is state funds that are meant for this project, and the borough bond funds in Fund 24 that are specifically meant for the airport and the transportation link. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions for Annie? Paul?
Not exactly questions for Annie, but comments. The Coon Harbor Project, if you can read the future, which you can't, however, the Essential Air Service for Helicopters probably not going to be there forever, and I think it's still an important part of projects that the borough has supported, and it might be essential to have to make use of the unusually located airport. It's kind of highly unusual to have an airport not near a community. But getting a little harbor of some kind where anybody can go over in a skiff or boat if the weather's good, I think it's still a good project. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay, hearing none. Question on the motion.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2318. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
So moved.
Ms. Brenda, I'll make a motion to bring 2318 to the floor.
Okay, Warren.
Second.
Two. We have a motion is made by Carol, seconded by Brenda. Annie?
Yes, their respect. Resolution 2318 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a Cold Bay dock management agreement with the city of Cold Bay. The borough owns and the city of Cold Bay maintains the Cold Bay dock. In 1994, the borough and city entered into a dock management agreement for the Cold Bay dock. The term was from July 1994 to June 2004. The agreement remained on a month-to-month basis until it was renewed in 2013. On January 18, 2013, the borough and the city entered into another Cold Bay Dock Management Agreement. That agreement term ends on January 18, 2023. Per the agreement, the city may renew this agreement by filing a written renewal application with the borough at least 60 days before the expiration of this agreement. A new agreement would then need to be executed. So on September 23, 2022, the City of Cold Bay sent an email to the borough administrator stating that the City of Cold Bay is interested in renewing the Cold Bay Dock Management Agreement. Administration accepts this email as their written renewal application. Therefore, the borough and city will enter into a new agreement for the Cold Bay Dock. With that, the draft agreement is in the packet for your review, but a few items to point out is that the term of this agreement will be for 10 years, from January 19, 2023 through January 19, 2033. The city agrees to maintain the dock in good repair. There's definitions of major and minor repairs and routine preventative maintenance in the packet for you to look at. And a few other items is that the borough does need to approve any berthing rights for the dock, so that includes having the Testamina more up to the dock when they're there, and also we have to approve all improvements and fixtures added and incorporated into the dock. I have had Marsh and McLennan, who are insurance brokers, look at the insurance language, so that language should be accurate, and then also the city and the borough will recognize that Frosty Fuels has a non-exclusive right to use part of the dock for their fuel lines, which was originally part of an agreement with the state of Alaska. And when they transferred the dock to the borough, that non-exclusive agreement moved with it. So lastly, they are required to indemnify us. Frosty Fuels, it's meant to indemnify the city and the borough as well. Thank you.
Questions or comments on Resolution 2318?
Hi, this is Josie. I have a question.
Go ahead, Josie.
Hi.
I was wondering how often these docks are inspected.
So the Coal Bay dock is inspected every 2 years. It's considered a bridge. So the state of Alaska goes out and inspects these every 2 years, and we get a written report on items there. We also have had Moffett and Nickel go out and do a more in-depth assessment a while ago when there was some damage to the dock, and we're also doing the feasibility study now, so we were just recently out there and looked at it in person with the engineer. So anyway, but every 2 years the state does do a very thorough inspection of the dock.
Thank you.
I got a word here, Albert.
Greg Warren.
See, on the, I know there was a repair done here a few years back where they replaced some of the fender piling on the inside of the dock, and we had an incident there last year or the year before where a couple of the piling got knocked out, and I am concerned that a couple of years ago, I don't know where they got the piling from to do those fender piling. I don't think they were ever brand new creosote piles because they weren't able to make them then unless they were some old stockpile piling, and they ended up breaking pretty easy, seems like, with a 50-foot boat. So I just hope that we're not taking a faulty dock on here by renewing this. Just a little concern. And when does the... who is liable for when somebody gets hurt on the dock? Is it like the borough, or is it the vessel that's tied to the dock? And when is the transition between the boat and the dock? So, you know, I know we haven't had, we had a few people fall in the water, I know, over there when they're trying to get from Colby to King Cove. I almost want to, I guess I better cut it off there because I'm going to get too deep into it and not going to make any sense really right now. So, but there is concerns there of those piling that they did repair that dock with.
Okay. I don't know if Annie knows anything about that.
No, I don't. I know we did some work back in 2012, I believe it was, in 2014. We did about $314,000 worth of work back then. I don't know what they installed. I can't remember. And then just recently, West Marine came in and replaced the one that the vessel hit, and that we went through our insurance, and the vessel's the one that's responsible for that if they hit it. So, and that one, I believe, was a pretty good quality replacement. Should have been.
Yeah, there was the cost of the two piling, I think, was $239,000. Seems a little high, but that's how it went over. So, but back, you know, you couldn't get a creosote piling since, I don't know, probably 2000, I wouldn't doubt, when they quit making those.
Well, I know one thing, they're driving them over here a couple of weeks ago, creosote piling. But I know you can't go out and purchase them because you can't use them on new docks or anything. But one of the statements you made, Warren, when you first started, the dock does belong to the borough. And part of your what you were saying there, I didn't know if you knew that or not. So we're just renewing the agreement that the city operates it for the borough.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Other comment, Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to vote in favor of this. Is in keeping with our policy of letting local entities manage docks and harbors if they can. And it's not a perfect dock, and one of these years it may be, but it would take a lot of money to make a really good dock, and it's better than it used to be.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, you know, just so everybody remembers from the workshop, you know, this is not a project that's going to take place tomorrow. This is on our 10-year plan, and so it's probably a ways out there yet. I think there's going to be a lot more assembly meetings on this, how we're going to proceed with going out to bid and that type of thing down the road as we move on this. So, anyway, other comments? If not... Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So we have Resolution 2319. We need a motion and a second.
I make a motion to bring Resolution 2319 to the floor.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll second. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Speck, I'm going to defer to Talia. Let's get the speaker here.
It's on.
Oh, it's on.
Okay, perfect. Resolution 2319, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with Long for the false pass boiler replacement in an amount not to exceed $90,000. In August 2022, Long inspected and serviced the boilers at the false pass school. Boiler number one has been tagged and locked out due to bad gaskets and excess soot buildup. And boiler number two was serviced but needs additional service to ensure that it will work throughout the winter. Repairs to boiler number two will occur within the next 2 months, which includes but is not limited to performing deep cleaning of heat exchange, collection box, and flue to remove thick layers of soot, replacing the non-functioning barometric damper, replacing gaskets for doors, access collection box and flue cap, and replacing firebox refractory startup checkout boiler and return boiler system to operational mode. Long has recommended that both boilers be replaced. The estimated cost to boiler number one and number two is $83,071, plus an additional cost for lodging, ground transportation, and a small contingency fund. Additional travel, labor, and materials for the work and repair visits that are not included above can be done T&M on a fixed price with AEB approval. If approved, the borough will pay for the false pass boiler replacement on the deferred maintenance account. Administration does recommend the approval of Resolution 2319, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with Long for the false pass boiler replacement, again, in an amount not to exceed $90,000.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments on Resolution 2319?
This is Chris here, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just have a couple questions. One is, so right now, as it stands, boiler number one is not working, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so they want to do these repairs to boiler number two. How are they going to do that? I mean, they're going to have to shut boiler number two down and they're going to be without heat, or how is that all going to work?
Figure it out. Well, you know, Long has already been out there. They shut the one down. They got the other one up and operating, but they need some parts for it. So I'm sure they have a plan for it, so it's not going to be like they're going to be without any heat, but they just have some things they need to go in there and make sure are operating properly so the existing boiler works until the new one are ready to put in.
I don't have any problems with it. I mean, I know we need to do it. I just would hate, I mean, I know the repairs need to be done, but I just would hate for them to come out there and have something and all of a sudden they can't fix, you know, they're in working boiler number two, and then all of a sudden they can't fix boiler number two, and then false passes without any heat in that school. And then the other question I had was, so the cost of the repairs to boiler number two and the estimated cost, or the cost to repair boiler number one and boiler number two, is that all included, $83,000? $71, does that, okay.
No.
So what's the repairs to boiler number two then? You're gonna, what's that?
I don't have the quote in front of me. I think it was around $13,000.
Okay. So the $90,000. So what? So then how are we coming up with $90,000 if we've got $83,000 for those two replacements?
So the $90,000 would include both. So the $83,000 for the repairs and the purchase of the boiler, it doesn't include lodging,
okay,
transportation. We have to pay for that separately. And then if there's any like contingency that we can't anticipate, because that always seems to happen. Like last time the guy got stuck out there for 5 days or three to five days. He was stuck out there for a while, so every day he's there costs us additional money. So having a contingency built in is good.
Okay, so the $90,000 will cover, that's what I'm trying to do. Is that going to cover the repairs for boiler number two and ordering those two new boilers?
No. This is just for the replacement of boiler one and two. The other one's within our scope of
work. Okay. That's all I wanted to know. No. I support it 100%. I just want to make sure that, you know, that we're doing it the right way here and we don't end up having no heat in that school because we know winter's coming. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Brenda? Denise?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So our last resolution is 2320, and this is to recognize Carol Foster for her time on the borough as
move.
She...
Move. Move. Motion.
Oh, yeah, I was just going
to... I just have a hand up. That's all.
Okay. Paul makes a motion.
I'll second it. This is Chris.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's all I was going to read the...
Oh, okay.
I don't know. So anyway, Carol's been with Borough for many years, and she decided not to run this year, so she is retiring. So this is a resolution by the Aleutians Borough Assembly recognizing Carol Foster for her dedicated service to the Aleutians Borough and the citizens of the Aleutians Borough community. Whereas Carol Foster has served as an Aleutians Borough Assembly member since 1998, holding approximately 24 years of service, and whereas Carol always made every effort to attend all assembly meetings and represent all Aleutians East Borough community, and whereas she also has been a huge supporter of education, youth programs, and the fisheries, and whereas the Aleutians East Borough wishes Carol and her family the best in her new endeavors. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Aleutians East Borough Assembly recognizes Carol Foster for her years of service and dedication to the people of the Aleutians East Borough. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. And a pleasure. Sometimes.
I know Carol had things to say, perhaps, and I do have a comment, too. But I'll have a comment. How's that? We'll miss Carol. She's been here a long time. But if we won't know, will she have to stay?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously. I was talking right into this thing. Anyway, so before we vote on it, does anyone else, assembly members, have any comments? Or?
Yes, this is Brenda.
Good, Brenda.
Carol, I'd like to thank you for all the years, not only during the assembly, but, I mean, through all the years that we were in high school and out of high school, the support you've had for your community, the children, the adults, school, fishermen. You always had a warm hand and good advice, gave your true two words to what you talked about, whether it was good or bad. You gave your opinion and why you had that opinion, and you helped other young women come forward in their life and be able to speak their words, which is incredible. And I think you got that from your mom and dad. But I'm very thankful for what you've done for everyone, and I'm very proud of you. And whatever you do, you know you're going to do awesome. Maybe learn to crochet and knit and all that stuff. But I'm very, very thankful, and it's been an honor and a pleasure to be part of your journey.
Thank you, Brenda. I do crochet now, so that's part of it. But I just want to thank the Assembly and the people and the communities and everybody over the years. This has been wonderful to say most of the time, but, you know, you are right. Everybody has an opinion, so. But I'm hoping that for the kids coming up in the future that they look at running for a seat, because I think they are going to be running the communities here pretty soon, one of these days. So I'm hoping that they start taking a little interest in. We all start out not knowing things, and then we learn them as we go. So thanks again, and I've enjoyed serving, so you guys have a good future. Thanks.
Thanks, Carol. Chris, your mayor.
Wait, Chris.
As I said in the workshop, yeah, I appreciate all the years that Carol's put in. Like I said, she helped me when I first got on the Assembly, and she's been a very strong advocate of getting our younger generation involved in our communities and in politics and even in the fisheries. And I think that's been a huge thing and an awesome thing, and I know she's been a huge supporter of our education and the scholarships that we give out, and she's going to be missed, but I do appreciate the 24 years that she gave to our communities. So thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Chris.
Other comments before we vote?
Thank you,
Carol.
This is Tom here.
Thanks for your service.
Thanks, Tom.
I heard someone else.
Yeah, Mayor, this is Daly in Kobe. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I'd like to thank Carol. I haven't worked that many years with her on the board. I've been on there a few years, but she is a very, very nice person to work with and very knowledgeable. And she's, you know, always looking out for all the other communities also. I love that. She did, and the fisheries, education, all of it. So I've enjoyed working with you, Carol. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Daly.
Okay,
Warren here. Okay, I want to say thank you, Carol, for all your years. Like, I remember when I first got on the Borough Assembly, you were here, Big Shot was here, the whole gang from on the board for a lot of years together, and I know that, I feel that you and Big Shot were a big inspiration to me to be able to give me some strength to run for the Borough, and I really look up to you folks, and thanks again for to putting us on a path to prosperity, and I appreciate your time you put in with the Borough, so thanks again.
Thanks, Warren, and I got to tip my hat to Justine. If it wasn't for Justine pushing me, I probably wouldn't have had the readiness to help out, but Justine really, really paved the way for me, so I have to give kudos to Justine and Big Shot and Alvin. We've been around for a long time, so thanks, Warren.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Okay. This is Josie. I'd like to say thank you to Carol. She's been on there for 24 years. I think I was a toddler when she got on. Just kidding, I'm not.
Oh, thank you, Josie.
I'm fairly new, too, and the few years I was able to attend meetings in person with her, she was, you know, she's full of knowledge, and I enjoyed listening to her and hearing her point of view on the different things that we were discussing. And, you know, the past few years with COVID, over the phone, you know, she's still, you stood there and you held your ground and you made your point, and I appreciate, you know, learning from you over the years, and good luck on whatever you're going to do in the future.
Okay, Josie, thank you. Hopefully nothing, that's my plan. So, okay, thanks.
Well, if you don't have anything to do, you should stay on.
No, I'm not staying on, I'm done.
Okay, all right. Are we done now? Okay. So, we are to the point where question on the motion of Resolution 2320.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. And we do appreciate your service, and I said during the workshop that now we're going to have to find another stability person for that, because you were always our rudder keeping us going in the right direction, even if we didn't want to.
Thank you.
And I think I was just a youngin' too when you got on there.
You'll always be older.
So, we are on to old business. Ernie, Board of Fish discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So during the workshop, we had a pretty good discussion. I went through these topics, and we got some good ideas from the Assembly. I was going to briefly go through these again and mention the ideas the Assembly brought up. And unless there's any other suggestions, I'm going to go ahead and get started. So there's in the packet just a list of suggested topics. Following that is the list of the Board of Fish meetings. I would point out that this later this month we have the PCOD meeting. The comment deadline has passed for both the PCOD meeting and the work session. The work session, they'll be looking at ACRs, and we'll talk about those in a little bit, and they'll also be talking about the escapement goals that the department has, some of them revised. And then there's the Bristol Bay finfish and the AYK finfish. And then in February is our big main AREAM Chignik meeting. So that's from February 20th to 25th. And we're hoping to get a bunch of participation and comments from our public in that. Basically, that's our schedule. It's a Board of Fish year. It's a big year. Next on the agenda, I've got a link to the proposals. There's a link on aebfish.org. There's links galore on my report later on in the packet. And then I've put together some proposal summaries, and I was going to just do those real quickly. First, we have the PCOD proposals. There are 11 that they'll bring up. Only 10 will be decided at this meeting. The 161 will be brought back at the March statewide meeting. The Sandpoint AC, I would note, opposed two proposals. Proposal 6, which would change how the Dutch Harbor Subdistrict GHL is set, and Proposal 9, which would get rid of registration exclusiveness or JIGCOD. If there's no questions on the PCOD, I would move to the Area M proposals, which is the page with all the boxes on it. And so these summaries show at a glance who made the proposals And for me, that's the easiest way to tell where they're coming from without really reading the whole proposal. So without going into these, you know, the big boxes are the June South Unimek and Shumigan's fishery, and then the post-June. And SEDM will definitely, Southeast District Mainland will definitely be on the agenda. There's three proposals there, one from ADF&G. And I would note that the one from ADF&G under SEDM is linked to the one under Chignik, which is on the following page, 105. And that's in there because the department has proposed to change the escapement goal from two early and a late run escapement goal to one single run, and that will affect management and other things. So we'll see how that goes. So if there's any questions on the proposals or the proposal summaries, I would say that Member Grunholt thought those summaries were good, and maybe we should print those out and get them to the Harbor House, and might lead to some discussion among the fishermen, and we'll try to do that. We might maybe fill them in just a little bit more and email them to the Harbor Masters. Mentioned agenda change requests as far as the work session. Agenda change requests, you know, they go, there are certain topics that are brought up each cycle, and these are things that are off-topic, out of cycle, and if they are approved, then the Board of Fish would then set them for deliberation at a later meeting, one of the meetings later on in the year. There are no other decisions made at the work session. At the work session, there's also no oral testimony taken. Usually, they've actually changed that before. Of all the agenda change requests, 16 of them out of 20 do not meet the board's criteria, so we'll see where they go. Mention on here, Lucian's Eastboro fishermen meetings. We have two set up right now. Next Tuesday, we will be meeting with fishermen by Zoom on the 18th. At 10 o'clock, and so that'll be for fishermen and some of our partners. And then in November, on 17th in Seattle, with as part of the Pacific Marine Expo, we're going to go ahead and go down to Seattle at the Renaissance Hotel. We'll have a breakfast meeting. If anybody's down there, we'd love to have you. It's usually a good breakfast with good potatoes that one of our staff members really likes. I mentioned our partners there. We've been, Charlotte and I have been meeting pretty closely with the Ariam Saners, concerned Ariam fishermen, which are the drifters, and then representatives from all our processors. And so we've been meeting regularly with them. And then I would just wanted to mention the new comment portal for that the Board of Fish support team has put together on each meeting page, which, again, you can find pretty easily if you go to aebfish.org or my report. There's a link on the meeting page that says click here to make a comment on any of the proposals for this meeting. And there are several things you'll have to do. You have to type in your name. You have to type in an email address. You have to type your community or residence and make some sort of comment, and you can attach a letter. And then you have the option to support or oppose all of the proposals that are listed for that meeting. I think that could be very powerful if we learn to use it correctly. It could, because the board support team then takes all that information and puts it into a matrix. They used to have to do that by hand just by reading each letter, and now this information is going to get to the board much more quickly. So I think it's an important tool that we need to use. And, Mr. Mayor, that runs through the tickler list. The other things that came up, seems like Brenda thought that since not everybody has Internet, we should maybe make an iPad or some sort of device available at Harbor House or the borough offices so so that people can make comments, since they are really encouraging use of this comment portal, and I think that's also a great idea. And then I think it was Chris that mentioned we should try to involve the school children, and we're going to definitely try to incorporate all of those strategies in our moving forward here. So if there's any other discussion, I would welcome it. Otherwise, I can take any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Ernie. The North Pacific Council just met, and the AP elected new officers, and I know there's nominations coming in November. Deadline is for that. Do you have any updates on people in our region applying for any of those advisory panel seats?
Thank you, Paul. So I was going to get into that in my report, but I'll mention now, so they do have a new chair and a new vice chair on the AP. Lauren, I can't think of her last name, is the vice chair, and then Brian Ritchie is the chair, and he did a great job. And then Ruth Christensen is the other vice chair. People shouldn't. You need to apply if you want to get on the AP by November 15th. That's all I got on that for now.
Are there comments or questions for Ernie?
Hi, this is Josie.
Okay.
I guess not necessarily for Ernie. He mentioned earlier about assembly members attending these fisheries meetings. Can you refresh my memory on the Open Meetings Act? What's the cap on that, 3, 4 in attendance?
4.
Thank you.
Other comments, questions? Okay. Thanks, Ernie. Good information. So we don't have anything under new business, so we're down to reports and updates. Annie, you want to lead this off?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Ostbach. So in the PAC, my report, first we'll start with the Corona State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, or the SLRF funds. We have received the second tranche of funding in September, so we have received the second funding amount of $324,000. As of today, we've spent $133,000 in ARPA funds on maintenance projects. One thing that was a surprise is on September 29, 2022, the U.S. Treasury launched a local assistance and tribal consistency fund, which we call our consistency fund, which we call LATCF, for eligible revenue sharing counties and boroughs. This was an American Rescue Plan appropriated funds. There was $2 million of that, and the borough will be receiving $2,038,800 in funding. I have already applied for the funding through the U.S. Treasury. We should be getting about $1 million here in the next few weeks, and then we'll get the second tranche, I was told, in the beginning of 2023, so I would imagine in January. So at the next assembly meeting, I will have a hope to have a resolution before you regarding how to spend or recommendations on how to use those funds after I read the Treasury guidelines. The Acatan Essential Air Service proposal has been released by USDOT. The proposals are due October 31st, 2022. It's for a new two-year contract that would begin April 1st, 2023, and this includes fixed-wing service between Unalaska and Akoon, and it also includes the helicopter service between Akoon and Acatan. Once that goes through, the borough will have to enter into a new helicopter services agreement with Maritime, which is part of how USDOT has put the helicopter portion in this, is that the borough pays 50% of that, and then USDOT will pay the other 50%. There's not much new on the King Cove Road update, but that's still in here. We are still waiting for a decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on whether to grant or deny the petition for in-bank rehearing. And I mentioned last time that the Nana Regional Corporation also filed an amici brief in August. So there's some information there. The city of Kim Cove did request an additional $25,000 to possibly conduct a King Cove Coal Bay Road Project's waterfowl impact study. I administration has reviewed this and has provided authorization to the city for these funds. It would come out of the funds we have available in Fund 20 for the King Cove Road Project. The city is going through that and deciding if this is something they want to pursue or not, but I did want to bring that to your attention. Maintenance, Sandpoint Pool, I've been getting lots of questions regarding that. I think all the parts and pieces have finally made it over there, and we are looking, as far as what they've told me, is October 17th to start, which is Monday. So we are constantly, and Dal's constantly in contact with Evolution Pools, so we're trying to get that done as quickly as possible. Both past school, we've already discussed. And then Accutan School, we're working on items for that. The superintendent and the principal have provided a list of repairs, and we are working with Tim Shangan on addressing the back staircase and landing that needs to be replaced. A few other items. The auditors did come to King Cove during the week of September 19th, 2022. So they are working on that, and that's starting to get finalized. I think it just needs a few additional items, and then I'm hoping that we can wrap up that audit, which is fantastic. Finance Department's completing the questionnaires for the Excel for this transition to the new software. So that is being worked on, and those are being submitted as they're completed. And then the concessions RFP for the vending machines was released on October 6, 2022. Those proposals are due November 3rd, 2022. And then lastly, I would like to thank Carol for her years of service. I've been here for 12 of her years, which is insane to think, and it's been a pleasure working with you, Carol. I think one of my favorite memories is going to Accutan, and your grandson Logan came, and he got to go on the helicopter. And I don't know if I've ever seen such excitement. It was pretty awesome. And that was one of my best memories with you and with Logan. So thank you for all your service, your support. It really is appreciated, and I will miss having you here. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie, very much.
Annie, I have a question since I didn't really talk to you today or anything, but I know we're still waiting to hear on the PID grant for the federal, if we can get a PID grant for the federal from the feds on that portion of the Sandpoint Harbor. Have you heard anything yet?
No, I haven't. I checked two or three times a day hoping they'll make an announcement. So there still is no announcement on that. As soon as there is, I will send an email I'll talk to you, Alvin, but I'll send an email out to the assembly. Fingers crossed. I'm hoping it comes out soon. I just don't know when they're going to announce it.
Okay. Thank you. Paul?
Just two quick questions, Annie. One was, when do you anticipate the swimming pool in Sandpoint being done? That's the first question. And the second one, we have two positions we're filling with the borough. When do you expect those to be filled?
So in answer to your first question, I was told it will take 2 weeks to complete the repairs once they start. Of course, if something comes up, it could possibly take longer. If something comes up that's not anticipated, but I was told 2 weeks after they start that it'll take about that much time. Answer to the other question, yes, we relisted the job postings, and those are due, I think, on the 18th. So I will let you know if I get anything for that and let everybody know. So that's the plan so far.
I have a question here, Mr. Mayor. Chris?
Go ahead, Chris.
Annie, on the boiler inspections, mm-hmm. where Long inspected the boilers and Cold Bay terminals, did you get a report back on the condition of those? Or?
I have not gotten one back. I anticipate once they hit all the locations, they will give me a report. They did try to come to King Cove. They did the Coal Bay one first with the plan to come to King Cove. The plane got canceled, so they couldn't make it. So then I was told they were going to go to Sandpoint next and then reschedule the King Cove inspections at a later date.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other comments? Questions?
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Okay. I have a couple questions. This is Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
Hi, Annie. For the LATCF funds, are there any specific spending requirements with those fundings?
That's something I'm still looking into, so I'm looking at the U.S. Treasury guidelines. I really actually don't think there's many requirements other than possibly using it. You can't use it on lobbying services, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty open to what you can use the funds for. I'll have a more detailed report for you in November on all of that, though.
Okay, thank you. And the other question I had, I don't know, it might be along the lines of Paul's, but I was wondering if the finance department, are they fully staffed yet?
No, not yet. Those applications are due on the 18th.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any others?
This is Denise.
Go ahead, Denise.
So I was just following up on the two job openings. Have you guys considered opening it up to other communities instead of, like, the maintenance having to be in Sandpoint, the finance having to be in King Cove? I just think maybe that would open up a little bit more, and it's still within our communities. Have you considered any of that, Annie?
Yeah, we're looking at all the different options, but right now, as of how the job description's written, it's in Sandpoint. But we will be looking at different options if I don't get anything by the 18th. So we'll be looking at different ways of doing this.
Okay. I just to make note, I think it would be a good opportunity for other communities to be able to apply for it because, you know, not everyone wants to move to Sandpoint or King Cove or whatnot, and that would open up a little bit more to other communities. So thank you.
Other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Talia?
Okay, awesome. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I'd like to start off with the deed, Sandpoint School Major Maintenance. Quick recap on August 17th. The borough was notified by deed that the Sandpoint School application would, in fact, the Sandpoint School major project, I apologize, would, in fact, be funded. The estimated cost of the project is $3.9 million with a 30% match. However, because the application that we submitted was from FY22, a reuse of SCORE and only at conceptual design, the funding dropped down to from $3.9 million to now receiving $2.9 million, requiring $1.9 million from the state and about $1 million from the borough, and this is with adjustments. Deed did determine in their cost adjustment that the foundation work is unsupported. The concept design report discussed the moisture-damaged exterior walls, along with the foundation waterproofing, drainage, and options for repair, and then the cost breakdown for both components in the cost estimate. So the reduction of about $500,000 was all the foundation work, and the remainder for that section was about $227,000, $316,000 for the wall rebuild. So Deed did decide that the wall needed replacing because there wasn't enough indication for them that the foundation needed to be rebuilt or replaced. Currently, I am waiting from Deed to submit the project agreement. Once we do receive it, both the borough and the district will have an opportunity to review and negotiate some elements of it. I do hope by the next assembly meeting to get that, but currently I don't have it, and I'm not really quite sure when we will receive it. Next is maintenance connection. So I'm continuing to oversee the MC site, processing maintenance requests, work orders, and assigning labor. Recently, September 9th, Jack Walsh did do a site visit at the Accutan School and submitted some items that needed to be repaired along with some images. Some of these items include the back stairs and landing. the borough would like to hire Tim Shanigan for the repair / replacement of it. So we're currently waiting on him to submit an itemized list of items needed for the repairs. There's also work that needs to be done on the floors, the gym storage room, as well as windows. Just as a reference, I did attach a few images of the back staircase and landing, backstairs and landing. Also, the false pass school boilers, which could be referred back to Resolution 2319. I won't be too redundant. And then we have the Sandpoint School, which Annie has said is anticipated to start August 17th. All the items, or most of the items, have been received. So hopefully they make it out there and get the work done. Last but not least, I just wanted to make a list of the regular meetings attended. And that is about it. If anyone has any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Questions? Paul?
So I have one quick question. I didn't read the RFP for the vending machines, but what does it say about electrical usage of the machines? Is that written into the proposal somehow?
So, Paul, this is Annie. I can try to answer your question, but are you referencing the voltage availability, or what are you referencing in regards to electricity?
Usage?
Yes, the usage of the machines. You know, most machines use electricity, which is not cheap in Cold Bay. I'm just curious what it mentions in the proposal about that. That's all.
So the individual or the vendor would need to pay a monthly payment to the borough that would include the space, the square footage, the usable square footage, and that would include covering the utilities for that. So there's a monthly rate that they'd be charged.
The monthly rate, the electricity would be part of the monthly rate. It's not a separate charge.
No, it wouldn't be a separate charge at this point. We don't have any way to get a measurement for that, a reading for that.
Just curious, I wasn't able to pull up the RFP in time to look at it. That's all. Thank you.
Well, we'd have to put meters in, for that, and that'd be pretty expensive. And when I had the airport and Dutch, there were vending machines out there, but we just kind of guesstimated that what electricity cost and added it into the square footage charge for the machine. Probably the easiest way to do it. Anybody else have comments or questions for Talia? Okay. Thank you, Talia. Laura.
Sorry, I was muted. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. I've been working on a number of projects. As far as our photography project, our third attempt to travel to Acatan turned out to be the charm. The weather prevented us from getting out there twice before in August, but on the 27th, we made it out successfully. Wanted to extend a big thanks to Josie Shangan for all of her help. She and her husband, Tim, took us out on their skiff, so photographer Carrie Tasker could get photos of them subsistence fishing. Our first day there was pretty nice weather-wise, and it worked out really well, and Josie had also organized performances with the Unagan dancers in Acatan, and I wanted to thank all the dancers for their performances and their hard work leading up to the event. It was beautiful and incredible to watch, and I'm really excited to see the photos that Carrie has taken while there. We're also able to update photos of the harbor and just really blanket the area. We also got drone footage and video, so wanted to extend a big thanks to Hugh Pelkey for taking us out there. And we gathered quite a bit of imagery throughout town, so that really worked out well. The next day, though, unfortunately, the weather kind of went south on us. It was very windy, gusting up to 55 miles an hour along with rain. So we were able to get more photos, and we got some of Josie and also Akatan Mayor Joe Bereskin. So thank you also to the mayor there for your help with our visit there. We appreciate it. We were scheduled to return on the 29th. However, the weather was still not cooperating, so we weren't able to get out on flights via Maritime and Grant. And we ended up calling Trident's office manager, Monica, to see if they had room on their boat the following morning on the 30th. So they were able to squeeze us in along with other processing workers. So wanted to thank you, Trident, for all your help with that. We really appreciate it. Once we were in Dutch, we were on a standby list for Raven, Alaska, along with 24 other passengers hoping to get back to Anchorage. So we had to keep showing up at the airport twice a day, hoping things would open up. Otherwise, our flight was not confirmed back to Anchorage until the 7th because of the cancellation we had to make on the 29th, not being able to get out of Akatan. But fortunately, being persistent of going back and forth to the airport, we were finally able to get a flight back on the 2nd of October. So I also wanted to mention thank you to Paul Mueller with EAT for offering to keep two seats open for us on a charter plane he had organized in case we were not able to get out earlier. But otherwise, everything went really well on that trip. I'm very happy we were able to complete everything. It was a long project and a lot of logistics, a lot of moving parts, but it worked out really well. The annual report was completed and finalized around September 20th. It was sent to the printers and was mailed out several days afterward. I was able to see a copy of it while I was in Akatan, so that was exciting to see. And also another project was the PowerPoint for the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators that Mayor Osterbach presented. So hopefully that went well. I'm hopeful that that all went well. I guess that was originally in Nome but had to be moved to Anchorage, I'm assuming, because of the storm out there. So anyway, that was another big one, and we had several issues go out recently and in the loop. One of them went out today with the announcement about the Canvas Committee and that they're meeting tomorrow at the borough office in Sandpoint at 10:30 a.m. to count the absentee ballots and consider the question ballots as well. We also had some issues go out on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. They included the preliminary results from the October 4th election. There was also some information about a questionnaire for residents who live in the Cold Bay area from the Army Corps of Engineers, and that is that they are collecting interviews to better understand the concerns regarding a World War II drum disposal area, a beach seep area, and a couple other locations that were formerly used defense sites. We also included the job openings for the borough maintenance director and the accounting clerk positions, and those are also on Facebook. The Alia Corporation also shared that. I had emailed them as well as a couple other entities. And KSDP also shared that, so thank you to them. I thank all those entities for helping us out with that. Next thing I'm working on is a story about Carol Foster and her 24 years of service to the Assembly. So that is my next project. And Carol, I just wanted to thank you for all your years of service. It's, you know, a very big commitment to serve for 24 years. You've done a wonderful job for advocating for the residents and the communities in the borough. So thank you so much for your service. And if anyone
thank
has
you,
any
Laura.
Questions... Thank you, Carol. If anyone has any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Laura? Okay, thank you. And your PowerPoint was as good as it normally is. Well, thank you for that, for the Harbor Masters.
Thank you. Glad
okay.
to hear.
Okay. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report is in the packet. The first thing is the Alaska Board of Fisheries, which I'll skip over, except for the fact that there was a joint protocol committee meeting this morning, three members of the board and three members of the North Pacific Council. They went over two issues, crab status, Bering Sea crab, and peacod. Neither one is great subject. As probably everybody knows, the council did set ABCs quite low for the Bering Sea crab stocks, and then because that the way the process works, the department came, and again, Bristol Bay Red King crab is closed for 22-23, and for the first time ever that anybody remembers, snow crab season is closed. There's a very small Baradai Tanner crab, and for the first time in about 6 years, there is an Eastern Bering Sea Tanner crab. Again, very small, not great in the crab front. The council also looked at just preliminary ground fish specs. Decod is down in both the Gulf and the Bering Sea a little bit, not a lot, but those are just preliminary specs. I can go through those if anybody needs them. One big thing that happened I wanted to talk about was the Trawl EM that passed final action that Charlotte, who's can't be here today, she's not feeling well. She was been a big part of as far as the exempted fisheries permit and moving this whole thing forward. Having EM on trawl vessels for pollock, it is going to result in a lot of better data, and keeping a human off, an extra human off the boat is really a big deal for our vessels. And working out the logistics to also have them on tenders was a big deal. I testified during staff tasking because they were going to talk about next steps, and a lot of people had good things to say about Charlotte because she did a lot of tremendous work on that, so I just wanted to mention that. And as Paul mentioned, call for nominations for both the SSC and AP. Those are due November 15th. I encourage anybody who's thinking about it to go ahead and apply on the AP. We have one person who's kind of from the area, Tim Hoiker, is on the AP, but we could use some more representation. Also, I had put my name in earlier as a alternate for the Community Engagement Committee, and somehow I am not just an alternate. I did make the committee, so there's that. Otherwise, moving to the next part, the Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force, they had their in-person meeting yesterday, and we're looking at management and research recommendations from all the subcommittees. They will meet again next Tuesday, and then again in November, and then they will be disbanded right after they give their recommendations to the governor. So we'll continue to watch that. Again, I put another note about the CARES Act Round 2, and there's a link. Those applications are due by the end of the month, and they need to be in written and mailed in or FedExed or something else. And then we've been participating in Alaska fishing communities and meeting with some of the big players. John Curlin, he's the new administrator for the region, and Bob Foy with the Science Center. And there's a link to a letter that we signed on to on the new draft equity and environmental justice strategy. You can see that this has been an awful big meeting month for fisheries. So it's been kind of busy. But if I didn't mention something and need to answer a question, I am available. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie, for your report. Questions for Ernie? Paul?
Magnuson Act reauthorization. Anything this week? Have you heard anything new? I haven't seen anything new.
No, that's certainly... No, I mean, that would probably be more of a Seb and Brad Gilman question, but, I mean, the conventional wisdom is that there's a new bill that's going to pass the House, but it's not going to make any headway in the Senate. And so here we are again, just continuing with the old one. But we've certainly been talking to people, again, John Curlin, and they had a meeting that I missed yesterday with Coit. That's definitely on the agenda, but I don't think it's going anywhere right now.
Okay, other questions for Ernie? All right, thank you. So that ends the report. Charlotte's report is in the packet, so apparently we won't get a report from her in person this time. We're down to assembly comments before we start. I want to put in one thing, because I just went to the Harbor Masters meeting again in Anchorage and did a presentation there, a PowerPoint for them. And I want to put a plug in again. We got four communities out of our six that have harbors. They have Harbor Masters. And not one community sends Harbor Masters. And I think it's very important that assembly members maybe talk to your city council and your mayors, managers. I think it's important that they go, because most of our communities are small, and harbors are kind of the heart of the community. So the little bit of money you pay out for an airplane ticket and 2 days of per diem, and it's pretty cheap compared to the amount of information that the harbor masters receive, and they're able to interact with all the other harbor masters, and the vendors are all there, the Transpax, the Bellingham Marines, the engineers, anybody that has anything to do with selling or providing infrastructure, whether it's lighting or, you know, floats, whatever it is, are there. I think it's really a cheap way to go to keep your harbors up to date, and it gives your harbor masters, I think, a little bit more pride in what they're doing when they're able to go out and participate with the rest of the harbor masters in the state. Anyway, I'm going to harp at it again. Come next midsummer, I'll start again. But I sure would like to see the harbor masters there. I think it's really a disservice to your community not to send them. Anyway. Okay. Assembly comments. If anybody has any. Paul?
Yeah, hi. During the workshop, I mentioned about some agenda items I was kind of asking for discussion on. I just wanted to reiterate that the AML one, people who were thinking of going, should, and I think everybody should go on the assembly if they can. The hotels are filling up, and it's at the NIDA Center, which is unusual, and so. And the Marriott is the official hotel, and the rates were quite a bit cheaper there, but they may all be gone. And I think we're having a borough meeting concurrently with it. I'm not sure. Maybe not. It's December. But I'd like to... Pardon?
You mean our annual planning session left?
Well, yeah.
We have to do it until January because they changed... What got changed to December?
The AML.
Yeah, AML.
Okay. And then I just wanted to request just for discussion the assembly stipend, whatever you want to call it. We haven't reviewed it for long. That was only, I wanted to put it on for discussion. I'm just formally asking to put it on as input from the rest of the assembly, that's all. And finally, November or December might be a good time to invite our esteemed lobbyist, Brad Gilmay, if he's retiring. Have an open invitation for either one of those meetings to talk to us, or he's been with us a long time, and I think it would be polite to do. If maybe he wouldn't fit his schedule, you know, with election coming up, he might have a lot of things in the fire, but maybe it would fit in with something else too, but I think it would be a good move to just politely invite him to address us personally.
Yeah.
And we can thank him at the same time. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah, the borough is his very first client when he started as a lobbyist. And with us the whole time. Other comments from assembly members?
Warren here out of King Cove. I just want to thank Natalia and Annie for coming out to King Cove and braving the October weather. And we appreciate them stopping by, and I guess they got to go over today and look at the school and for the first time for Talia. And then Annie, we see her around once in a while, but it sure is great to see people from the Anchorage office here in King Cove. And I'm sure they're able to talk to a few people around town and then run the meeting from King Cove here. It's probably a little uplift for Jackie, too. She's usually stuck here by herself. So anyway, thanks again.
Hey, you know, and if they don't get out of there right away, I know Annie wanted to go do a tour of Peter Pan, if that could be arranged. It'd be nice for him to do that. Other comments?
Hi, this is Josie.
Okay. Hi, Josie.
Hi, I just wanted to say thanks to Laura for finally making it out. I thought she was going to cancel, but the third time was the charm. Then I teased her that she just got here and she couldn't leave, and I'm surprised she made it out when she did when she got out of Dutch. So thanks to her and Carrie Tasker for coming in, and sorry the weather wasn't the greatest, but next time they got to try to travel around the ferry schedule in the summer.
Okay.
This is Denise.
Go ahead, Denise.
Hey, Carol, I just wanted to say how much I've enjoyed serving with you. I've only been on for 3 years and hope for more, but I've really enjoyed serving with you, and good luck with all your endeavors, your calm endeavors.
Thank you, Denise.
Other comments? Okay. And I'll comment a little bit on what Paul brought up. He wanted the per diem put on the agenda. I think I'll have I'll work with Annie and Beverly and maybe send an email out to all the assembly members on when you want to put something on the agenda, what it should include. Because I think there, if you put things on the agenda, there should be something in there that explains what you're after or what you're looking for, so when it's posted, the public has an idea of what's going on, and it gives other assembly members a heads up of what they can think about or look at. It also gives the staff a heads up to be able to gather the information on whatever subject it is, so that there's information there, pros, cons, or whatever, so people can take a look at it in an educated way. So I'll try and get something out on that to each of the assembly members. Okay. All right. So are there any public comments? Okay. Please be aware everybody else by now. Next meeting date is November 10th, 2022. So there's no other comments?
I'll look for a special meeting, right?
Oh, yeah, don't forget. On Monday, this coming Monday at 10 a.m., there will be a special meeting to certify the election.
Yeah, I will send
out. And so for all of you that are interested, you're going to go and count the ballots
tomorrow,
10:30 tomorrow morning here at the borough office. So with that, I look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
The airplane must have landed. I don't see.
Okay, everyone. You have a good weekend.